"What was that?" I inquired. "The picture of Oxford?"
I was able to do the commissioner a favor once, and he sends me a Christmas card every year. Over the great bridge, with the sunlight through the girders making a constant flicker upon the moving cars, and the city rising up across the river in white heaps and sugar lumps all built with a wish out of non-olfactory money. The city seen from the Queensborough Bridge is always the city seen for the first time, in its first wild promise of all the mystery and the beauty in the world. A dead man passed us in a hearse heaped with blooms, followed by two carriages with drawn blinds, and by more cheerful carriages for friends. The friends looked out at us with the tragic eyes and short upper lips of southeastern Europe, and I was glad that the sight of Gatsby's splendid car was included in their somber holiday. As we crossed Blackwell's Island, a limousine passed us, driven by a white chauffeur, in which sat three modish Negroes, two bucks and a girl. I laughed aloud as the yolks of their eyeballs rolled toward us in haughty rivalry. Anything can happen now that we've slid over this bridge, I thought, anything at all. Even Gatsby could happen, without any particular wonder. Roaring noon. In a well-fanned 42nd Street cellar, I met Gatsby for lunch. Blinking away the brightness of the street outside, my eyes picked him out obscurely in the anteroom talking to another man. "Mr. Carraway, this is my friend Mr. Wolfsheim." A small, flat-nosed Jew raised his large head and regarded me with two fine growths of hair which luxuriated in either nostril. After a moment I discovered his tiny eyes in the half-darkness. "So I took one look at him," said Mr. Wolfsheim, shaking my hand earnestly. "And what do you think I did?"
"What?" I inquired politely. But evidently he was not addressing me, for he dropped my hand and covered Gatsby with his expressive nose.
"I handed the money to Catspaw, and I said, 'All right, Catspaw, don't pay him a penny till he shuts his mouth.' He shut it, then and there."
Gatsby took an arm of each of us and moved forward into the restaurant, whereupon Mr. Wolfsheim swallowed a new sentence he was starting and lapsed into a somnambulatory abstraction.
"Highballs?" asked the head waiter.
"This is a nice restaurant here," said Mr. Wolfsheim, looking at the Presbyterian nymphs on the ceiling. "But I like across the street better."
"Yes, highballs," agreed Gatsby, and then to Mr. Wolfsheim, "It's too hot over there."
"Hot and small, yes," said Mr. Wolfsheim, "but full of memories."
"What place is that?" I asked.
"The old Metropole."
"The old Metropole," brooded Mr. Wolfsheim gloomily. "Filled with faces dead and gone, filled with friends gone now forever. I can't forget so long as I live the night they shot Rosie Rosenthal there. It was six of us at the table, and Rosie had eaten drunk a lot all evening. When it was almost morning, the waiter came up to him with a funny look and says somebody wants to speak to him outside. 'All right,' says Rosie, begins to get up, and I pulled him down in his chair. 'Let the bastards come in here if they want you, Rosie, but don't you so help me. Move outside this room.'